radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant at the G,
Yo,
and George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah!
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios located at La Berge Casino Resort in Lake Charles. Here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
All right, it's draft eve, the NFL draft. Tomorrow, we'll continue building on our big board at 2:30. We will be at Spanish Flower tomorrow, broadcasting there from noon to 6, us and the Killer Bees. And we are right now at La Berge Lake Charles at this, outside the patio of the Sportsbook. Beautiful, beautiful day outside. So with the draft coming up, when you see, you know, there's all these rumors going on. We know what free agency played out like. Which teams are you like most curious about for the 2024 NFL season outside of the Houston Texans? Because one of them for me, like oddly, like the way we started the show, is the Tennessee Titans a little bit. Like they spent a good amount of money. They bring in Legarius Sneed. They bring in Calvin Ridley. They Tony Pollard as well, running back to replace Derrick Henry. And then you have a new coach, in which I do believe they took a step back, I'd imagine.
Ryan Callahan
over like,
I like Vrabel. Yeah, I don't get why they got rid of Vrabel.
I don't really, yeah. That to me seems like just since the A.J. Brown trade that happened, it was just kind of a dysfunctional relationship that had to end.
Who knows if it's going to work out. It's just a boring hire. We hired the son of a former boring head coach.
Yeah. But like they spent a bunch of money like they're trying to win, and then they have Will Levis, who had moments, like momentary flashes of good. I think I'm intrigued by the Titans next year. They might be the worst team in the NFL, or they might be a playoff team. I really think that that's their range.
I don't know about worst team in the NFL.
There's some pretty bad teams in there.
Yeah, I mean, the Patriots.
Broncos.
Oh, boy. That quarterback room.
Dude, if they take Bo Nix and like their quarterback room is Bo Nix and Zach Wilson, that would be wild.
Yeah. That would be insane of them to do. The most intrigued. I mean, we both kind of were thinking division in the AFC South because the Colts to me are pretty interesting too.
Yeah.
Now a lot of that is just kind of the mystery box element of what the hell we're getting out of Anthony Richardson and just can this dude stay healthy? Which is very weird that a guy who's built the way that he's built, it's like actually just. He gets hurt all the time. I don't know what to tell you.
Right, I know.
Everyone's worried about how much Bryce Young weighed last year and Jaden Daniels weighs this year. And it's like, actually, this guy who's built like a tank can't stay healthy either. And they were a good team last year.
I mean, yeah, they were a fourth down conversion away from potentially eliminating the Texans in that Saturday game to wrap up the year. The Colts are a good choice. I feel like as far as like the widest variety of possibilities as far as what the season could be for them, I do think that Atlanta's interesting just because they brought in Kirk Cousins and they have a lot of fun skill position players. This would be the most that Kirk Cousins has ever worked with. Does that mean Kirk Cousins goes further than he's ever gone before? I don't know. I mean,
which
it's
is,
Kirk Cousins.
Which is to win his second career playoff game?
Yeah. Jeez, that's crazy.
Yeah, but the thing with the NFL or the NFC especially is that it's like such a flat track that if you like the Falcons, if they're pretty good, if their pieces come together pretty well, it's like, shoot, you might be hosting. You're definitely going to be hosting a playoff game, and you might be hosting a second round playoff game too. Because really, the only two teams that feel, you know, set in stone as far as at the top of the NFC are the Niners, and then if you want to be nice and really buy in, and since they re-signed half their team, we'll be nice and say the Detroit Lions are up there as like the firm number two in the NFC. But after that, like, good luck picking the third.
Dallas,
right. Philly, Green Bay,
maybe.
Green Bay will be trendy.
Someone's got to win the North, and whoever's going to win the North is going to have to win like 10 or 11 games.
I would imagine Detroit to win it again. Like,
that's true.
I don't think
I forgot about. I just took them out of the division.
Well, I saw Schefter just tweeted about that that they have not like they haven't really come close to an extension on Jared Goff. So even after they made these moves today. I'd imagine like you're kind of stuck with them at this point, unless for some reason you believe in Hendon Hooker,
who you drafted last year. I don't believe in Hendon Hooker.
No,
let me put that on record.
I didn't think he was that good in college.
Yeah,
think it was overrated in college. Yeah, the Atlanta Falcons are a very good one because, like, Kirk Cousins also is coming off a major injury. So, like, it could be a disaster for them.
What's he going to do without the threat of his legs?
Good question. It might be confusing on the occasional Sunday as well because we won't know. Wait, is that the Texans or is it the Falcons?
Yeah, that's one tough that's something I wish never gotten pointed out to me. How much the dark, specifically, and really only the dark, I guess the normal, the non-H-Town blue one, I forgot.
Yankees blue, right.
Yeah, the Yankee blue one. How much that one looks like a Falcons uniform, I wish that was never pointed out to me.
Yeah, because
a little bit.
When they first...
It's too dark.
Yeah, when they're, like, the first, like, real leak of it was actually, like, they were showing all these mannequins from the NFL draft, and it was the blue one.
Yeah.
And at first I was like, is that a black jersey?
Yeah.
Like,
it looked very dark.
I thought maybe the one with this new logo was going to be just a black Texans jersey.
With the H-Town blue.
Kind of like, that's, like, the new trend in the NFL, is like, because, like, the Lions just did that.
Yeah.
Like, they have a black jersey now, which is, like, just so bizarre and seems unnecessary. But yeah, the Falcons are a good one because like they're also they should win that division easily. It was interesting talking to some of the guys from here about the Saints. They all know that like they're cooked next year. I don't think they're
Derek Carr.
Yeah. Derek Carr's your quarterback. Like it's funny to think back to last year.
And they lost Jameis.
Yeah, but it's like it's funny to think back going into last season. Like the way we're talking about the Falcons right now, is kind of the way I feel like everyone was talking about the Saints.
I wasn't, but
well,
yeah.
it was like
the NFC South is the most boring division outside of the AFC South in the NFL.
I get what you're saying is that
Derek Carr was the quarterback, and it's like you had Derek Carr, Baker Mayfield, Desmond Ritter. Like Derek Carr's going to win that division.
The difference was though, like Kirk Cousins is kind of a better version of Derek Carr. He just is, and then the surrounding talent you believe in a little bit more. I mean, I know they have Olave and Kamara, who was suspended for half the year. I think it's a little bit different. Also, the Falcons have shown, like, just general competence.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, yeah.
That's all you need.
I'm just not a Derek Carr guy. I can't believe
it. Is Derek Carr a Derek Carr guy?
I think he is.
David Carr is a Derek Carr guy.
David Carr is definitely a Derek Carr.
I love when David Carr would come out with his top five quarterback rankings and he would have Derek in the top five.
When was the last time he did that?
Not like 2 years ago? Like, it's like, I know he's your brother, man, but you have to have some respect.
Recuse yourself.
Don't mess with the Carr family. Don't mess with those Fresno, California folks.
But they have an accent from Cyprus, all right?
Well, hey, if
he picked up the Cyprus accent.
You go into the sticks in California, you know, you too could develop an accent, I think.
Mm.
Bakersfield's surprisingly red seeming.
Okay. How's Fresno?
I'm assuming the same.
Okay.
I'm assuming, like, you get away from the water, and people are like, yeah, we're going to embrace the real world a little bit more here.
Anyone else for you guys that like you're most curious about for next year?
I mean, I'll say it cuz you're too scared to. Chicago Bears. They're interesting.
Yeah, I think Nick Wright's correct. Their expectation for them next year should be to win 10 games.
Whoa. Okay.
Wow.
I was thinking maybe make the playoff.
They did win 7 last year.
Exactly. They won 7. They added Keenan Allen, they have a good defense. And they have this supposed generational quarterback.
NFC's wide open.
And you have they clearly think they're getting a Dunze.
So, I mean, if you're picking a worst to first in the NFC.
They're the best.
I mean, yeah. They're a 7-10 team that has the number one overall pick.
Yeah. Like, it's should easily be them.
I mean, it should easily, should easily win the division.
Yeah.
Right.
Like they should be.
They're better than the Lions.
I would be
right.
bummed. I would be disappointed if they're not a playoff team next year.
Yeah. If you go to first round bye and, all the way.
Home field throughout.
Greatest quarterback.
If they don't do that, if they don't do that, fire Matt Eberflus.
Well, please. That's why. If they don't win,
fire Matt Eberflus. Obviously, clean house, and then new offensive coordinator for Caleb Williams in year 2.
How about Matt Nagy?
Because that works.
Lincoln Riley.
Matt Nagy's worked with the Chiefs before. You think that would work?
Gross.
He just won a Super Bowl, back to back.
He
Super
did.
Bowl.
True.
That's true. He's learned a thing or two by working with a good quarterback. It wasn't. It was Trubisky's fault. It wasn't his fault.
Did Eric Bieniemy end up getting a job?
No.
Did he go back to the Chiefs?
I don't think so.
No. He got a college job.
Is he here working at the sports book at Lake Charles and LaBerge at Lake Charles?
I don't know. Right. He's the offensive coordinator for UCLA.
Whoa.
Damn, he couldn't even get the head coaching gig after Chip Kelly left.
Yeah, wow.
Wow.
That's crazy.
Blackballed again.
The other team I was thinking about, too, was the Raiders. I don't know what it is about them.
I was thinking about...
They played so well under Antonio Pierce.
I was thinking them as maybe having the number one pick next year. That's the
battleground
number one pick ideas.
They won
eight games last year.
Right. But sweet. I mean, come on. The AFC West garbage last season. So that's at least two to three or four or something that you're getting.
Yeah. Well, they played good last year.
If the Chargers are ever going to not be a joke, would it be year one with Jim Harbaugh and with Justin Herbert? I mean, God, they just – I'm annoyed because every year everyone's like, the uniforms are so sick. Yeah, Brandon Staley, he's a genius. He's a wunderkind and all that crap. And then on top of that, you got Herbert, who everyone kisses the ass of nonstop. Yeah. And I want Herbert to be good. I'm just so sick of everyone saying, like, yeah, he's, like, really good. You just don't get it.
I don't know who's throwing the ball to this year. Like, Quentin Johnson.
Yeah, that guy.
Josh Palmer.
Josh Palmer.
Like, is Gerald Everett still around?
No, he's on the Bears.
How many teams? The
Bears are stacked. They should win. You know what? I'm betting on them to win the Super Bowl.
Please don't.
Parlay, Astros win the American League. Chicago Bears win the Super Bowl.
Please don't.
Has Gerald Everett ever played multiple years for one team?
Has he played back-to-back years?
I don't think since, like, he was probably drafted by whoever that was. He's been on half the league.
He was drafted by the Houston Oilers, actually, in 1993.
That would be something he's still playing at this age. Yeah, if look up Gerald Everett. There's a picture of him with the Chargers, picture of him with the Rams. Oh, you know what? Get this. He played for the Chargers for back-to-back years.
Wow.
2022 and 2023.
Good for him.
What, Rams?
The Seahawks?
Was there a Raiders stint somewhere in there?
Probably. Well, I feel like everyone's got a Raiders stint if you're a tight end. And they just kind of bounce around a little bit. All right, where are you at? Sorry, did you have anyone else? No?
Nah.
Okay. Anything more from Gerald Everett?
No, I'm out. Yeah. I'm like, why are we're talking about Gerald Everett. That's her sign to move to break.
Well, that means because it's the Astros are ruining everything. That's why.
They are.
They are ruining everything.
I would rather talk about Gerald Everett than the Houston Astros.
All right, more Gerald Everett talk, Astros, when we get back here. Where are you at with your stages of grief? Paul's at anger. I don't know if a stage is disdain, but maybe he's there as well. Dana Brown seems to be in denial. That's next here on Glotton George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. It's Glotton George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at LaBerge Casino Resort in Lake Charles. Here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
All right, so the Astros lost again yesterday to the Chicago Cubs. They play again tonight. It is Eric Geddy on the mound for the Houston Astros. Justin Verlander will pitch tomorrow. From Rivaldo's, does sound like he'll pitch on Saturday or Sunday.
In Mexico City.
So, Mexico. So that's good.
Ground ball pitcher in high elevation.
Yeah.
Well, I'm assuming the high elevation is going to make him less of a ground ball pitcher.
It's going to make all those ground balls
fly.
Can't wait for Fromber's first start back to be another effing disaster for this team.
What? How do you think creature of habit Fromber Valdez will react to his first start back off an IL stint being in a different country?
With laser pointers in his eyes, probably, because that's a Mexico thing. Yeah, I don't know, but I don't feel great about it, Sean. The elevation, the smog, all of the things in Mexico City.
Mm. Hmm. But at least it's not cold so he can pitch.
That's true, because Christian Javier, who is on the injured list anyway.
But he slept wrong.
Right, he slept wrong, so his neck is hurt, and they didn't want him to pitch in Chicago because it's a little nippy. It's 38 degrees.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that's coat weather, and it's the windy city after all.
Probably warmed up a little bit since then.
I'd hope so.
Yeah, it's just going to be.
We're looking high in the 80s for
when they're in Mexico City.
Mexico City.
Let's go.
So, like, the positive is that, like,
Great weather.
Christian Javier is only going to miss two starts. Framber Valdez, Christian Javier, Justin Verlander are going to be in your rotation by, like, next week. So, like, if there's hope, if there's a moment of it, like, if you still feel that way, like, I asked what's the stage of grief for you in.
Oh, and I pulled up the stages of grief.
Okay.
So we can...
What are the options again?
So first you have denial, then anger, then bargaining, depression, acceptance.
So Paul is clearly in anger.
I don't know. I think I might be at depression already. I think I've skipped a couple of steps. Because I don't really care that much right now. I mean, there's a part of me that feels like it can turn around. But, I mean, I don't know. I'm seeing the same thing every single night.
Yeah, that's what is
depressing to me. It, you know, there has been anger for sure, and I guess the anger rears its ugly head from time to time, but I feel a little bit further down because I'm just looking at him and I'm thinking to myself, like, they have all the pieces. This just doesn't make any sense to me, and I feel like that means I'm further along, but maybe I am angry. I don't know. I think I'm closer to depression than anger.
Yeah, there's denial. I saw here from Ron on Twitch, which I think that's where a lot of people are still at as well with this team, is that it just doesn't make sense. Like, even like Dana Brown, like in his interview he did this morning, he's still talking about how this team has won 97 games and all the success they've had. I'm like, who cares? Like, who cares?
But some degrees of that success are happening. Like, Shrimpo Dana on the Twitch, batting average is third. They've got the third most hits. They've got the least amount of strikeouts.
Yeah. Mm.
I mean, they're doing what they're supposed to an extent, yeah, at the plate, just not with runners in scoring position.
A lot of good stats.
Yeah.
Other than wins.
Yeah, the most important stat they have seven of. So, like, that's where... I'm at, like, acceptance at
how
this
many,
point.
How many... At what point... Are we going to stop looking at the AL West and saying, well...
They're only five games back.
Right. Because I think that is perhaps the bargaining stage.
I think I'm in bargaining because, A, like, and I try not to keep doing this, but it is long season. Like, still got 130 games, 130 opportunities to make this right. And so I would like some sort of signs of life. I would like for less five-run first innings from the starting pitching, whoever that may be on that night. But I still think I am at the point where, listen, there still is something. Like, I'm not ready to fully... This team is done. I'm not ready to do that. I think, yeah, I'm at bargaining where I'm like, well, you know, every game, every night I turn on the TV and thinking, you know what? Maybe this is the time it changes. You know, Ronel Blanco's taking the bump. You know, Javier's not taking the bump. No, but I think especially like Joe was saying with this starting rotation getting healthier, it does turn into three out of the five starters. You're at least like, okay.
They're back.
I feel like only with Framber is there a chance for absolute disaster. The other with Javier and Verlander, it's like, I know I'm getting competence. I know I'm getting a good start, a decent start no matter what. And weirdly, Blanco's probably like third on my power rankings of starting pitchers I trust the most.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like I get it. Like, King of Twitch here is getting all pissy with us because he, of course, thinks he knows everything about baseball. He's trying to bring up the fact that they have a minor league staff. But once again, like, it's not your minor league staff, except for JP France, that has been an absolute abject disaster this season. It's the fact that your best players are failing time and time again. Yordan Alvarez is not a minor leaguer. Alex Bregman is not a minor leaguer who's 3-for-24 in his last 24 plate appearances. Your best players suck ass. Like, there's really no other way to put it. Like, they're not good. Like, they're not good. It is not about your minor league pitching staff. Yes, JP France sucked last night, but what happened in Spencer Arrighetti's last start? He was good. Like, he was good. What happened in Hunter Brown's last start? He was good.
They didn't.
Like, it's Ryan Pressly. It's Josh Hader. Like, stop complaining that all your pitchers are hurt. It's not an excuse anymore.
They didn't
it's
get
so stupid.
They didn't get swept by the Braves because of starting pitching.
Right. I will say, to Enfuentes Respector's point, I mean, you don't feel like you have a lead when the Astros are up two runs in the 7th, 8th, and 9th. But last night, that wasn't the problem. Last night, they were never there.
No issues.
They were never there. So, I mean, right now, you know, to go back to something you guys said a little bit ago, here I am at this wonderful casino in Lake Charles, right by the pool. We got a nice little cross breeze, and I'm slouched down in my seat. And Sean, you mentioned a couple of pitchers on a certain thing called a bump. And I feel like the entire Astros team needs a bump. I mean, there's no energy.
They do.
That's the other thing, too. We feel dead watching them.
Yeah.
They seem dead out there. And I'm sure some people can blame the manager. You can blame the leaders, Altuve. You can blame Bregman. I mean, Verlander supposedly lit into them when he got back. They very well could turn this around, and I'm never going to say this team is out of anything. But the reason I think that some of us are a little bit further in stages of grief have to do with the fact that they are doing something that they haven't done since 2016, get off to this slow of a start, which historically is a bad omen. They have a lot of talent, and I think that separates them from a lot of the teams that have had these bad starts that haven't made the playoffs and haven't had a winning record. But I think the absolute lack of fire, we're all feeling it because we're all pissed. I think most people watching this team are at that stage right now. If we're doing stages, I'm sure there's some that are still denying, but I think more people have graduated to stage two, which is anger. And that's fine, honestly. I maybe that'll get them to respond a little bit. I don't know.
Yeah, it's just they're at this point now where it's like, I don't know. I guess I'm at the end of it, like acceptance. Like, to me, there is no, like, you can say that, like, the getting healthy is going to fix their problems. Like, I just don't, like, yeah, no one wants to see J.P. France pitch again. Like, no offense to him. Like, it was a fun story last year, but he's not even, like, he doesn't even fix these, like, middle inning relief problems that some people believe they still have. Like, Taylor Scott has a below 3 ERA. Montero has a below 3 ERA. Like, they have been plenty fine, plenty good. Same with Seth Martinez. Like, they have been plenty good enough. Like, they've actually been, like, one of the least of your problems. J.P. France, though, like, he's not a...
Right.
He's got to go back to the minors.
But that's why some people are looking at the pitching staff and saying, all right, when they're healthy, great. When are they going to be healthy? That's the first question. And the second is, okay, they are due to score runs with all these guys on base. Like, it defies logic that they are this bad with this many hits and this good of an average that it's not turning into runs. And unless, you know, if you didn't see it or listen to it, check it out on our YouTube channel, ESPN Houston, or on the podcast. Check out like the interview that we did with Jeremy Booth, who was suggesting lineup alterations. I would like to think that they're at the very least looking at some things like that, but I honestly don't know, and it does feel like it's going to be more of the same because everything has been like the same thing, game in, game out. Now, I get it. It's not even a month into the year, but like it feels like it's been multiple months because it's the same thing over and over.
Yeah, it was weird. Like Dana Brown, the interview he did this morning, like he was asked about lineup changes, like taking Alex Bregman out of the cleanup spot, and he's kind of like their tone has shifted on Jose Abreu. They are not trying to use the back of the baseball card. Finally, they're just like, yeah, he's not good.
I think it's acceptance on the if we're to go from Astros to Jose Abreu stages of grief, we are at acceptance. The city of Houston's at acceptance for what Jose Abreu is.
Yeah. So he's talking about how the fact like that they're going to keep tweaking the lineup, but he brought up Jose Abreu, even though it wasn't a Jose Abreu question. And where it's like, yeah, Joe might keep changing things, but there's no major changes coming. Like, it's to what Jeremy was talking about yesterday. I don't know who's calling the shots, but whether it's Joe or Dana Brown or them, like, they got to change something more drastically if they're going to try to fix this.
Some of it, though, is just like...
You need
your better players to hit better with runners in scoring position. Like you can stack the lineup however you want. I'm guessing you're not going to have Alex Bregman hitting ninth. And when there's runners in scoring positions, who do I not one up? And it's Yiner Diaz. It's Alex Bregman, and I mean Alvarez is working his way there. And you just cannot build a lineup where you assume your best players are actually your worst players. Like, you can't do that.
All right, it's Glenn George here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 coming up next. We'll continue to build out our big board. We look at the tight end position. That's next year on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
First, let me tell you about my friends at Pendleton Whiskey. It would go fantastic out here by the pool. Give me a big old rock. Give me two fingers worth of that very smooth, refreshing goodness. Pendleton Whiskey is barrel-aged in American oak. It is cut with the glacier water from Mount Hood and also with the finest northern grains. You blend it all together and you get a whiskey that really sets itself apart and embodies Western tradition. So if you want to satisfy your inner cowboy, you can go find Pendleton Whiskey wherever liquors are sold. You can also find it at drizzly.com, have it directly sent to you. It's Pendleton Whiskey. It's true Western tradition.
ESPN 97.5.
You know Lance Zierlein for his mock drafts.
This is where the problems start in my hometown. I pass on CJ Stroud.
But have you ever read his scouting reports?
Look at the body. Look at that bubble butt. That power generator's right there.
We're going to pick who the Texans should draft entirely based on these things he actually wrote.
A little stiff in the hips. Ooh, they fall down hard and long.
And now, our unintentionally erotic big board.
All right, let's continue building out our big board here. So we've got about 20 guys, roughly, I would guess. We've got to be pretty close to that number. We've gone through corner, safety, interior, defensive line, running back, offensive line. And right now, when we looked at their depth chart, we look at the tight end position. They only have, I think, really two on the roster that like you would consider like competent guys with Schultz and Brevin Jordan. So I would say that late in the draft, tight end would not surprise me if they addressed that position at all. So we're going to build out a big board for that. So
let's do it. All right, here's prospect one. And again, Lance Zierlein wrote these things, so take it up with him if you got issues. Prospect number one has the speed and agility to run routes on all three levels. Gets quickly into routes, maneuvers around redirection. This is a guy who is light on his feet with a feel for angles, but below average grit and strain at the point of attack, fails to fit up run blocks.
Okay. Doesn't sound like a great report.
No.
It's not the worst one we've heard, but just like knowing that we have more coming, I'm going to pass on this.
Yeah, it's tough to roll.
This is slow out the gate.
Yeah.
This isn't one that like I'm like it doesn't jump off the page first prospect being like, "Yeah, this is my guy."
Yeah, so pass.
Pass.
Okay. We're going to pass on. This is Kansas State tight end Ben
Sinnott.
Yeah. Correct. Okay. Yes. All right. Sinnott. Prospect number two. His secret sauce might be his ability to rip through tacklers.
Okay.
Lacks premium measurables.
It's tough.
This is a man who is a hands catcher.
Okay.
Gets hands into proper positioning in the box.
Okay.
I love it.
Needs to become more forceful when fitting.
Huh.
Okay.
That's it.
I can work with that.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, like, you want to have, like, good measurables. Like, that's obviously something, like, everyone's worried about.
Yeah.
Like, you don't want to go and do.
Not the best measurables.
But good with his hands on the box.
It's still a very good secret sauce.
Yeah. Secret sauce.
Yeah. Secret sauce is good.
You're going to be surprised by who this is.
Huh.
Really?
I'm going to smash then.
Yeah, smash.
Now I'm intrigued.
This is Brock Bowers.
Oh, of course we're there. Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Brock Bowers, tight end, Georgia.
Okay, he's so funny in this draft, though, like on a side note, because that picture he took next to Gronk, where he just looks like this little child next to him because he looks so small.
And Gronk's 6'7".
Yeah.
Yeah, Gronk's
he's
so enormous.
But he is 6'3".
Yeah, he looks so small next to Gronk. Like, people are like, yeah, I think I'm out on this guy. It's just like, it's just a photo, dude.
I mean, people should have been like that with Bryce Young when he was standing next to an IT person that looked like he was bigger than him.
I thought you were going to say when he was standing next to Lisa Salters and looking at her in his eye.
All right, so we're smashing Brock Bowers, who is definitely not going to be available. So let's go to prospect number three. Exciting floor if he can handle the rigors in the pro game. Average build, but room for more muscle. He flashes as a run blocker. Highly effective running seams. Fits run blocks with good hand placement and hip lift.
Okay.
Ooh, hip lift.
I like that too.
don't use that tone.
Inconsistent aggression taking on bigger opponents at the point. That is prospect number three. Tight ends entirely based off of scouting reports written by Lance Zierlein.
Yeah, I think this is a smash as well. I like the hip lift conversation here going on.
What do you think, Sean?
I'll smash as well. I was on the fence, but yeah, the hip lift. I've never heard of that.
I think you're going to be excited about this one, Sean.
Oh yes,
Jatavion Sanders, tight end, Texas.
I think we've smashed on like
all the Texas players are on the board.
Overwhelming amount. Of
them. They really are.
All of them are on
and
the
only
board.
A couple of them. Like halfway through, I was like, I think I know who this is.
All right, prospect number four. Sticky hands.
Love the sticky hand.
Bludgeon and elude are both on his post-catch menu. Kind of weird.
Okay, I hope he washes his hands before it's serving up something off the menu.
Violently and sticky with his attack. needs to upgrade nastiness as an inline blocker.
Mm.
Blocks with average strain. And this is going to hurt him. Below average sustained. He's not sustaining, guys.
You know what? The sticky hands makes sense now. I'm going to pass.
Yeah, I'm going to pass.
Sticky hands is all he has going for him.
Yeah.
Damn, CJ Stroud's going to be mad at you. That's Cade Stover, Ohio State tight end.
Do you think he's telling Nick Cassera to draft him?
Yes.
Like he did with Tank Dell?
100%.
I would bet so. All right. Prospect number five. Excellent size.
Okay.
Love it.
Good musculation across his frame.
Lance made that word up.
I also don't really know what it means.
I don't either. Decent lift with hips and hands when fitting the base block.
Okay.
Widens base. Runs his feet through contact.
Okay.
Tends to drift instead of sitting down. When sinking into zones.
I mean, the end there is not great, but I think this is a solid. I think this is a smash.
He's waist bends into run blocks. It allows the edge defenders to slip off and around. That's a bad thing.
That's a bad thing. I'm still going to smash.
Their size, though. It's a lot of size.
I like the size here.
Yeah, and we, you know.
Size is important.
We have some size, some prospects or size is the downside. So, yeah, I think an upside on size would be nice to change of pace. Let's smash.
Yep.
This is Theo Johnson, a tight end from Penn State.
Okay.
He is a Canadian.
Oh, that's tough, man.
You should have thrown that in there.
I feel like you had to include that.
Well, being Canadian doesn't mean you're a deviant.
You know? I guess. Yeah. Loves maple syrup.
When healthy, he's very good at stretching the field.
Mm.
He's got to push back against handsy coverage.
Okay.
Expanded route tree. Clean getting into bursts.
Okay.
Coming out of them as well.
Mm. Oh. That's good. In and out.
Right. Okay. Check that. Sorry, I read this wrong. Getting into breaks, he gets into breaks clean. Bursts coming out of them.
Okay.
That's
a little
good.
Bit better.
That's a good, in and a good out.
Yeah.
Strikes with some force.
Okay.
Splitting zones.
Easy.
Wow.
Good.
But needs to become more physical to clear himself against handsy coverage. Below average grit and sustain. A lot of sustain talk on the tight end.
A lot of hand talk, too.
Yeah. A lot of hands, a lot of grit.
I think I pass on this. The last two are bad.
Man, but that, like, clean in, burst out.
Yeah.
That's a strong one.
His school should make you feel a little better about him, but do you want me to reveal who this is? Or are you guys out?
I think I'm out.
I'll also pass.
There.
This is Iowa tight end Eric Aull.
Oh,
He's an Iowa tight end.
They do have a track record.
He'll figure it out.
Very good track
record.
They do have, like, it's the one thing they can really produce is offensive linemen and tight ends. And defensive line.
Yeah, D-backs.
Dude, they have some D-backs. Iowa is such an interesting school because, like, they have so much NFL talent.
Yeah.
They get a lot of tight ends.
But they suck.
None of them play quarterback or receiver.
Yeah.
That's an issue.
Or running back.
Or probably. Running back. Yeah.
I don't think they have any running backs in the NFL, at least.
I actually think I could have that wrong. Never mind. I think the guy that the Colts threw the pass on fourth down.
Oh, no.
I think that guy was an Iowa running back.
Junior Broncos says, except for CJ Fedorowicz. He was fine.
He was all right. He was all right.
Injuries, man.
He's had a concussion issue.
But you know what? People were confusing him with Ryan Griffin.
Oh, you know what? I was thinking about Ryan Griffin.
Bill O'Brien getting into it with me. Like one time where I had asked him about, hey, what was that play about? Who was the reason for that interception? Did Fedorowicz do something wrong? Actually, it was Griffin. He just redirected a question about Brock Osweiler sucking. Good job by him.
Oh, Bill O'Brien. Billy O. Those were the good days. Not really.
No, not at all. Those are not the good days, Joe.
I miss the sometimes I just miss the back and forth, the snippy back and forth with the reporters. Because we don't really have that anymore.
Yeah, you don't. With D'Amico, you just get a lot of nothing.
Like, there was a little bit with Dusty. There's some snippiness. A spot is too chill.
For now.
Adoka, it's coming. Like, when the Rockets are good and they have
people
a bad
care,
and
right.
people, and there's a bad game, like, there's going to be some, like, real snippiness.
Yeah, I think.
With that
I don't
Rockets
think he was in Boston, though. He never really was that snippy with the media, I think.
Yeah.
He's very chill when he's up there. He might be angry inwardly, but
Missoula's snippy now.
Yeah.
He's the one that is.
All right, it's end of the show. Thanks again to LaBerge. We'll do garbage time next as we wrap up. It's Glanton George here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
First, let me tell you about my friends at the Highway Cantina. It's a fantastic spot. Right by all of these stadiums in East Downtown on St. Emmanuel. Thinking to yourself, well, I want to have some food before I go to the game and get disappointed by the baseball team there. Well, never fear. They got some reasonably priced, exceptionally tasty margaritas inside. The 975 tall Texan margarita is a fantastic drink. But also, you've got all sorts of other options on the menu, like wood-fired oysters, mesquite sausage in addition to your routine fajitas. The salsa verde, it's so damn good. Everything at the Highway Cantina is going to shock you. It is a fantastic spot. If you're in East Downtown, whether it's going to a game, going to see a comedy show, maybe you're going to try to impress your boss with a happy hour or just taking him out for a lunch, this is your go-to place. It's the Highway Cantina. Tell them Paul Gallant sent you by.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
You're listening to Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at La Berge Casino Resort in Lake Charles.
All right, so let's see. From Rivaldos will come back this weekend for the Houston Astros, it appears. Saturday, Sunday, still TBD. Cody Bellinger Will not be in the lineup.
I just saw
for the Cubs. He fractured a rib, and they brought up Peter Crow Armstrong, their top prospect. I did think Kyle Tucker might have got hurt last night for a second.
When he bumped into the wall?
Yeah, that wall is not – the outfield is not kind there to people, mainly because there's no padding anywhere.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you think Bellinger – and this is, like, obviously just speculation because it came out that he got hurt 2 minutes ago.
Yeah.
But do you think that play – was it a Kyle Tucker fly ball that he misplayed?
He juggled and he kind of hit the wall.
Yeah, and hit the wall.
I think so.
Because he hit the wall pretty hard.
Yeah, and there's no Ivy right now, so it's like – that's like it's your.
It's just a brick wall.
It's a brick wall.
Yeah.
And then Paul's favorite person is going to be announcing a draft pick for the Texans. What's up, brother? Is that what it is?
That is it.
Our boy Sketch.
Sketch. Can we take
CJ Stroud's boy? Yeah.
Who would you rather do a pick for the Texans, Larry or Sketch?
Who's Larry?
Larry Stafford.
Who's that? Oh, Larry Stafford. Sorry. No.
I couldn't tell if that was a bit or not for a second.
No, I had to think for a second.
Come on.
I mean, at least Larry and Stafford, like, brings energy.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I don't understand this Sketch kid.
I really don't get it either. Like,
yeah, I think Larry's actually like perfect for this. I think that'd be great. No, seriously, he's the man can talk. That's for damn sure. No, Sketch, I do not understand Sketch at all. Like, it boggles my mind, and it is 100% jealousy that this kid is a unbelievably successful streamer, because I don't get it. He's impersonating an autistic person and has even admitted to it that it's a character, and everyone's like, yeah, it's cool. I guess it is.
There's so many breaking news graphics when you look up Sketch about him, and like Houston Texans update, and it's Sketch is set to announce a pick at the 2024
draft. I'm reading the replies, and you would think, like, who the heck is this? No, like, everyone's like, yeah, this is awesome, cool, wow. What?
Yeah. Because he probably has, like,
he clearly has a lot of fans,
and
I want to die.
I mean, people love him. People love him.
I will say, when you look
up, I don't get why, though. Like, I'm trying to, like, these one-liners that they're quoting are not great.
Yeah, no, they're not.
To me, at least, I don't know.
All right, it's that time of the day. It's time for garbage time.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
All right, guys. Well, did you see there's a story about a millionaire who decided to go homeless and make $1 million over 12 months?
Yeah.
No. Wow.
Get this. He failed.
Oh, I thought. Oh.
And he, like, failed, like, miserably.
Didn't have a happy ending.
No, not like, there's a movie that was on that. I forgot. Never mind.
I'm going to move on to the next topic because this is something we did not touch on today.
Okay.
Deshaun Watson is finding money in all of the places you wouldn't expect and the places that some people are unwilling to go.
Yeah, I saw this.
Deshaun Watson visited Saudi Arabia, and I don't know if the Saudi Arabian prince copy and pasted this, or he copied and pasted this from a text from them, but he tweeted this out. I had a nice time visiting Saudi Arabia and learned a lot about the original Saudi culture and society. And I enjoyed watching Al Nassr, Al Al Wali, and Al Hilal, Al Zaim, and I've heard a lot about the singing of Al Ali and Al Ittihad. Special thanks to capitalized royal, capitalized highness, capitalized prince, Saudi 49er, for the hospitality and generosity. And God willing, we will see the football in Saudi Arabia soon. Prayer emoji, may peace be with you. And then he tagged at NFL Arab.
So a couple things here. Deshaun Watson is absolutely going to be the first player to sign to their version of LIV Golf.
Yep. It does feel like that.
I mean, he shouted out all the soccer teams that have Ronaldo and Neymar on them. So, yeah, I think prayer, you know, whatever it was, prayers that we get football in Saudi Arabia. I don't think he's talking about a, you know, like how they're playing one game in Brazil. I think he's saying, like, please.
A league.
Yeah, please, give me here.
Yeah. Like, I wonder if, like, they'll do, like, 7-on-7, like, with pads or something like that.
They could do that.
Well, because I don't think you can't get, like, a full.
The line play would be tough. The line play would be tough.
Yeah, like, they couldn't build out another league.
Also, like, if you're the Saudi league, you're really doing this, like, how they did with soccer, just to get stars.
Yeah.
It's like, it's actually just easier. Just, yeah, let's get one
bunch of wide receivers,
one quarterback, and like four wide receivers for every team.
Yeah. And like, just play that way.
Especially because they could get like, because Terrell Owens is always saying that he could still play in the league.
Yeah.
Like, they could get big names to play in this league.
Yeah. I love when people do stuff like this. Like, if you're going
to. You love
it
when people go to Saudi Arabia for the bag?
No. I think
people,
you should.
Wow.
Let me finish.
Yeesh.
That if you're going to do something like this, you should probably just stand by and don't be a coward and turn off the replies to your tweet.
He did do that.
Like, if you're going to do it, like.
I thought you were taking a shot at someone else. I was like,
no.
Hey, but at least he did it in traditional Saudi garb. Like, he got the cute little polka dot.
He got in
the head thing, whatever that is. Scarf? Head scarf?
I don't know. What
I
not know what the title
looks,
is.
It
seems like they dress very warm considering how hot it is there.
Yes.
I think they're blocking the sun from their skin.
Yep.
Oh.
Because it's so hot.
Is that linen that they wear?
It's probably very,
it's like free. I hope it's expensive.
Like, especially for His Royal Highness.
Yeah, you would think, like, all that, like, with all that oil money, that they'd be wearing something comfortable. Like, why not wear shorts and a t-shirt? I don't know. Like,
I wonder how much
you own the country.
I think they value, I'll say,
modesty?
Tradition and modesty.
Over comfort.
I think they value that in that part of the world.
I can't imagine how much money he got for this.
Probably, to David Mulligetta, not enough.
Yeah. Please don't, CJ.
Yeah, for guys that don't need money, too. He has a full
guarantee.
He has a full guarantee. If this was like, yeah, this kind of his last, you know, his last year in the league, he needs to start thinking about Plan B. It's like, no, he's going to be on the Browns for the next, like, 2 or 3 years at least.
Anything else?
Nothing changes.
That's that.
All right, that's it. That does it for us. Thank you to LaBerge for having us out here. Great time, as always. We'll be back at some other point later this year for a couple shows. Maybe for the McGregor fight. That's what it sounds like. Could be our next destination trip out here when he fights in UFC 303. So that does it for us. Thank you to Sean, Paul. Appreciate you guys coming out as well, driving 2 hours. We'll be back tomorrow at noon, live from Spanish Flower. Goodbye.
Peace.
ESPN 97.5.